Good evening and welcome to the Heat Army Podcast Live. What a week it has been for Gale FC. Beaten on Saturday and lost top spot. Win on Tuesday against local rivals and go back top. It's been a roller coaster ride. Fantastic result though on Tuesday. We'll be talking a lot about that tonight. But welcome to the Heat Army Podcast. As I say, fully interactive. You can send us messages like Mason Ford has done on whatever platform you're watching, whether on Facebook or on YouTube. So do that. Send in your messages. We'd love to hear from you. What a lineup we've got today. We've got Paul Dixon and also we've got Mark Crovers as well joining us to have a quick chat. We'll bring them in very quickly. But Mickey, what a night on Tuesday night.
Oh, yes. Oh, nice. No one nearest and dearest. I'll tell you what I was pleased with. The fact that when they were coming off after they'd done the warm-ups and they were going on the pitch, JJ got a great reception and so did Robbie Dale for what he'd done up there. And I'm really pleased at that.
Definitely was. So we mentioned it in commentary, me and Mark are saying that was the only time you'll see Robbie Dale getting a round of applause at the Tyne and Wear stand. Of course, we've been on the end of some of his goals in the past and always a hard one to take. Right, so fully interactive. Just before we start, please like and subscribe. The subscriptions are going right up on YouTube. It really helps us spread the word. And also, you see, I'll press a button now, which will go out on Twitter, and we'll see, get more people to come and join us, and we'll share the show and get more people, because there's about 1,000 people average at a home game now in the Tyne and Wear stand. And we're reaching about 400 to 500 a week views, but we'd love to get all of them, get them all in here. It's only 100% gated show for the fans, by the fans, and that's what I want you talking. It's all your messages and everything that made this show go. Right, we're going to bring Mark Crovers in and Paul Dixon just after we play a message for our sponsors. Oh, well, good evening, lads. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Good evening, David. Yeah, pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you on. I'll start with you, Mark, because I've got a bone to pick with you, actually. We had a good night on Tuesday night on the commentary, and someone asked you a question on social media saying, did you enjoy it? And he come back with this. Said he was sat beside me, so no.
Do you know what, Dave? I was hacked so much. Someone else got in and hacked us.
It was me who put it as well.
it was some bloke called Jack Daniels, I think. He hacked into my system.
Well, I'll forgive you. But what a night it was for Gateshead. It was a solid performance with a clean sheet, and you couldn't ask for much more against your local rivals.
I think for maybe 75-80% of the game, Gateshead looked comfortable. There was a short spell, maybe the first 10 minutes of the second half, when Spartans looked as if they were gaining a bit of confidence and starting to get things together. There was the one chance that Jordan Hickey had, which was kept out by Marshall. But I think apart from that, Gateshead would have been comfortable with the performance. Certainly, I think getting the second goal at the time and that they did when Spartans were just coming through that sort of confidence spell really just put a pin in that and gave Gateshead a chance to really build. Speaking to Mike after the game, and certainly the rest of the coaching staff, there was a feeling that they were never comfortable until the third one. But I think, and I would kind of think all four of us would probably agree, that looking from the stands, they always looked in control from that second goal onwards.
Yeah, it was a confident performance, especially on the back of Saturday's performance against Fylde. I know, obviously, yourself and Paul weren't there, but Mickey, Saturday wasn't for the want of trying. It wasn't a performance that lacked effort. It's just that we didn't get enough numbers in the box when we got forward at times, and some unfortunate mistakes at the back.
Final or third, for the first time probably this season, to be fair to the lads. We looked a bit toothless up front.
Yeah.
The mistakes at the back is two mistakes were definite. I mean, I'm not gonna kill the lads, because look what they've done all season.
Yeah.
Fylde are a good side. Yeah, they're an arrogant bunch when they are, but at the end of the day, the best team won on the day. So you just got to take it, suck it and see. But
it was one of them ones you had to take on the chin because, as I mentioned, it wasn't a case of not trying. Just for whatever reason, when we got forward, it was on a bit of on the counter sometimes, and we just didn't get midfield and support and players in there for when the crosses come in, because there was a couple of, I think, three or four dangerous crosses with either Macaulay Langstaff or Kedron Scott isolated in the box, surrounded by four failed players, and it was always going to be headed away or cleared. But I say we turned round on Tuesday and put in a hell of a performance. And Paul, it was an exciting one, wasn't it? Once the crowd got behind Gateshead.
Well, it certainly was. I mean, just to answer the failed game, I'm pleased I wasn't there, because I haven't seen Gateshead play like that this season. I mean, I've just checked me programs and what have you there, and I've seen Gateshead an awful lot this year, and I haven't really seen them play like they must have played against Fylde. So, you know, watching on Tuesday where they beat Blyth, I think very, very comfortable. It was just the norm, as you would say, if you take the Fylde game out, right? But they were so much better than Blyth on Tuesday. I think, you know, they wanted to get 3 points after getting beat off Fylde, and I think they wanted a bit revenge for what happened over Christmas up at Croft Park. I mean, when you think back to that game, they had about 6, 7, 8, 9 chances in the second half, and they didn't really take them. But you know, they're back top of the league now. They've got to push on from here now and play every game as though it's a real cup final. Because, you know, saying getting a point away from home, all right, we'll accept that. But you've got teams, you know, like Brackley, Kidderminster, Fylde are up there. And if you keep winning now, they'll do it. It's going to be pressure at the top, but I think they can cope with it.
Well, during commentary, I said to Mark, it's now in Gateshead's hands. If they want to keep going, we're not having to chase. It's a different, obviously very important every game, but it's a different set of mindset, isn't it? You're not chasing to get that top spot. You're there. We're there on merit, because we've scored a lot of goals this season and kept some clean sheets and not let in as many. But, you know, being on top on goal difference doesn't give you that little bit of breathing room that maybe 6 to 9 points would.
Well, but that may well come, but they are top of the league. You know, you strive to get to the top of the league, and then the hardest thing is to stay at the top of the league. That's what you need to do. I mean, you know, I've spoken to Mark about how many go up. There's only two go up, but if you're automatic at the top, you can enjoy the playoffs watching them. You know, and you're not involved with them. And I don't see any reason why Gateshead can't go up as champions, and I'm sure yous would agree.
Definitely, but as I say, we've talked at length, and I feel like I keep saying it, but it is something that is so key to Gateshead, obviously the personnel and the mentality, but the versatility of the squad. We're seeing it again right throughout the game. We're seeing it on Saturday as well with Jack Hunter going off, and then we had Taylor Charters come on. Right throughout the team, we just seem to be, you know, covered, which is quite strange, especially when you see, you know, at times the bench has been injury ravaged throughout the season.
Mark.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
sorry. I didn't know that was aimed at.
I didn't name anyone. I was being a bit silly there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes a change. Just looking at it, you know, there are a lot of players can play in a number of positions, but I think maybe there is a case to maybe look to bring in one more at the moment and see what's, you know. You just look at the injuries and it feels as if they're starting to pile up a little bit. We have spoken, and we spoke about Charters in commentary and during the game on Tuesday, and I just feel as if maybe midfield's not the area that would need some bolstering. I think it would probably be defensively. You know, we were discussing that before we came on here, the options at the back. There are players that can play in there, but maybe playing in them in there just kind of weakens other areas as well. So, you know, I think it's probably all right as it is, but I think one more injury or two more injuries would maybe force some sort of action.
Yeah, I mean, just on the injury front, we had Danny Greenfield have his first start of the season. We'll see a little bit of him here in the fantastic footage from GSFC TV. Subscribe to that as well, and all of GSFC's social media. Jack McGregor does a fantastic job with these from pitch side highlights. But I'd say the movement and the energy and, well, the all-round play from Danny Greenfield looked like he hadn't been away.
I thought he was excellent. I really did. I thought everything he did on the ball, his movement, as you say, his passing, his you know, selection that he was making, the way he brought people into the game, you know, his maturity as well. I think he's matured a lot over the last couple of years. You know, when you look at, it's not so long ago that he was going out on loan at Matlock, and he seemed to come back from there just maybe with a little bit of a different attitude, and really he's established himself in the first team squad now. And he was unlucky not to get a deal at Sunderland by all accounts. And I just think he's a real player that could go on to feature for Gateshead as long as they want him, or as long as they can keep hold of him.
Certainly. And you know, David, he's been out a long time, and he's watched this team get to the top of the league. He'll be sitting there saying, well, you know, if I hadn't been injured, I would have been part of this, and I want to be part of it, and I want to be playing my part from now until the end of the season. Because he's missed a lot of football, hasn't he?
Well, he showed a lot of mental strength to come in, because, as you mentioned, Dan Ward has stepped up into the central midfield role this season and been absolutely fantastic. You've had Owen Bailey come into the club as well, who we didn't play with last season. And, you know, these players have stepped up, scored goals and done fantastic in defensive duties as well. And he's been sitting there injured, as you say, but he hasn't let it get to him. He hasn't sulked on it. He's worked hard. And you can see the fruits of his labour on Tuesday night.
Dave,
from injury when the team's winning and if you were at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Had the luxury there.
It is a little bit easier coming into a winning side, but you still got to take your hat off to the young lad as well. Remember, he's still young, and he's living away from home. He's up here. I'm 40. We'll cut you off there.
I was just going to say, is there a way of getting back to the first goal? Because I just want to make a point about the first goal.
There is one second. I'll remove that, and I'll add another one in.
Now, just looking at the goal, there was a bit of discussion on the Facebook page, wasn't there, last week about a certain player, about Adam Campbell, about, you know, what he brings to the team. Now, Adam played quite deep on Tuesday night. We don't need to hear our voices, Dave. There's no need for that.
Certainly don't.
I just want to make a point of, you know, there's a lot of talk about the setup from Kedwin Scott and the unselfishness that he showed. But if you look at the ball, I hope it is Adam Campbell. I'm fairly certain it was.
Cheers, Campbell.
Look at that first touch, the weight of the pass, the execution there tells you everything that Adam Campbell brings to this team. Now, you know, I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek, that was the comment that was made on the Facebook page, but when you speak to people within the club, they'll tell you exactly what Adam Campbell brings to that squad.
I was just going to see it here in slow motion. Here's the ball.
Look at the first touch. He hasn't got a lot of space. He hasn't got a lot of time. That's genuinely top class. It's a great first touch as well by Kedwin.
It is top class. It is.
It's a really, really lovely bit of play. And I think, you know, there's no discussion to be had really about what he brings to the club. To the side and the club. I just thought that was excellent. It was worth pointing out. Sorry, I jumped in.
No. And also later on in the game as well, when Gator got on the break, I think it's still at 2-0. And I think it was Langstaff or Scott had the ball on the left-hand side. And we've seen Adam Campbell sprint from the halfway line and just missed the ball that come through, and just his dedication to get up there. And I think just going back to Saturday as well, I think it's maybe something that was probably picked up on by the management team as well, that get into the box and you're seeing players busting the gut to get up there to support the two strikers.
David, I think Adam Campbell has been absolutely outstanding for Gated. I mean, in every game I've seen, he's played his part in the way of, because he scored goals. I mean, he scored a terrific opportunity when the keeper parried it out and he's just lashed it into the roof of the net. He's made the first one there with an assist. He's a top player. And I think, you know, we were looking before the season started to see odd Greg Ollie, who's going to be the playmaker all the time. Well, he's got a pal alongside him now called Adam Campbell, right? And then when you're talking about, you know, Greenfield, Bailey, and Ward, who are looking at them too, seeing, well, I fancy a bit of this as well. And that's how well they're doing. They're playing day in and day out with quality players. I mean, I've seen Adam Campbell a lot over the years. This is the best quality football he's played in his career.
I mean, Mickey, when we've seen him come on loan from Newcastle United, he was played as like the Kevin Phillips type of role where he had to run onto the ball. And I was expecting that again when he come back to the club. I wasn't expecting him to be the playmaker and linking up and breaking up play as well, dropping deep. He even comes back towards the back four to pick up the ball to get things moving as well. He's not afraid to get involved doing the dirty work either.
Well, no, he's not. But since he was a young boy when we had him. He was still relatively young.
Yeah,
he's been away at different clubs and he's got that experience. He's had a good couple of seasons with Darlington and we've got him. And obviously, he wants to play this type of football. He said it when he joined. So confidence is massive in the football.
And also, as you mentioned, confidence is big. It'll be a big major boost to him that he got back into full-time football because he said to us he thought that was it. He thought he was done. He thought he had his time. He had dropped down from Notts County to Darlington, sorry. And, you know, obviously was concentrating on working as well as playing. And this opportunity's come up. And you can't say he's done anything but grasp it with both hands.
Certainly has. I mean, this goal, I love that.
Yeah. It was nice to see.
That's what good strikers do.
Yep. It's great stuff.
My book, anyway.
Yeah.
You were a striker.
I would have enjoyed that one. Yes, I really would. Yeah. And so did he.
Too far out for you, though, wouldn't it, Digger?
No. Be careful. But I tell you what is exciting and good for Gated is that the mixture of goals. I mean, we talk about, you know, the front three, including Blackett, but like Adam Campbell. I mean, we've seen Ward score, we've seen Greenfield, we've seen Bailey. And we've seen Greg Ollie. I mean, you know, I mean, there was a times over the last couple of years where Gated have been relying on Greg Ollie. I mean, I rate him unbelievable. What a player. But he's surrounded by a lot more good players now and they're really clicking. They really are.
I don't know if there will be some in the highlights, but there's some of the balls and touches that he did on Tuesday night and all season as well, it has to be said. He just seems to find space and just find players and the deft little touches. Here he is now just trying to bend one in at the far post. He tried it in the first half as well, didn't get it. On another day, it might have went in. But, you know, Paul, I spoke to you at Hebben in pre-season. I think we found out early that Greg Ollie was going to be made captain. It didn't come out for another 10 days. And you said he had to step up. This was the season he had to do it. He's give flashes over a course of seasons. And he really has stepped up.
Well, he has. But I think all of them need to sit down. And, you know, it's like saying to someone, you know, when you're striving to get to the top of the league, these are some of the best players in the National League North. And I'll tell you, if and when they do go up, there'll be some of the best players in the National League as well. Because they're really exciting players. Some of them are very young. Some of them are at the height of their career, like Langstaff, like Campbell, like Greg Ollie. I mean, you've got three players like that in the team who are just sensational. And the rest are just saying, yeah, we're joining in as well. Top of the league, this is what we're watching. Top football in the Northeast.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but the build-up play for this goal as well, the little dink out to the left wing.
Brilliant.
The movement around was just a joy to watch, isn't it? I mean, you feel daft being so positive all the time, but there's a lot of positives. We've bounced back from Saturday. We could have been sitting here talking about a lot of negatives, but we've bounced back on the top of the league. And if they can do that, you know, results might not go our way at times, but it's how you dust yourself down and come back. And to do it against the local rivals, it just shows you what they're made of.
It doesn't. And I think this could go down as one of the most important wins of the season because, you know, I don't think Saturday was a 3-goal defeat from, you know, what I've seen of the game. I wasn't there, but it didn't feel that way when you talk to people in and around the club.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was a 3-goal defeat against a team that are, you know, competing top end of the league, it would have been easy to allow the season to just unravel from that. So to put in a performance that was as controlling as Tuesday was just shows the character and the spirit that's in the dressing room. It shows exactly what this squad is about. Because again, you know, we look back, it's not so long since Spartans beat Gateshead at Croft Park. That'll have been on the mind as well. But I think what you've seen, rather than allowing that defeat and Saturday's defeat to hamper any efforts to get a win on Tuesday, it's kind of motivated them and probably going to put in an extra 10, 20, 30% if it was needed, but which I don't think it was. What I will say, and I think there's a question come in about Blythe about the defensive lineup.
I was just going to go through that. We've got a few messages. I'll quickly go through them so we don't miss any. We've got one here from David Hebson. Evening all, hope you're well. David Steele, looking forward to tonight's show. David Tron, evening lads, wonderful week. It's been Tuesday, a magical night. It was. And then Gordon is asking how we are as well. Thank you very much, Gordon, for tuning in. And David Steele is, but why did Blythe start such a defensive lineup? And we kind of touched on it when we were talking before we came on air with Paul. And if I was a Blythe fan, I might have been a little bit disgruntled that you had Dan McGuire on. I don't know his full fitness, but for me, you would have to start with at least one recognised striker to at least try and give you some chance of scoring a goal, and maybe trying to sit deep if you did after that and take him off at half time if he hasn't got the full fitness. But you know, they brought him on very late. I know some of the substitutions were forced and they might have brought on more strikers later on, but it didn't seem to be the greatest game management. And I've seen a lot of tweets from Blythe fans kind of going along those lines as well.
I think looking at the lineup now, Blythe at times this season have gone to three at the back, which is what they did because they have Nathan Buddle who can play centrally. They've got Toby Lees who plays right-hand side. And they've got Patrick Orman who's come in and he's left foot. He can play on that left-hand side of a three. Now, what that allows, it did look defensive, but when you've got full-backs like Reece Evans and Michael Liddle, now they like getting forward. Obviously, Reece went off early, which didn't help. You know, Michael Liddle went off second half. That one didn't look great, which hasn't helped them. But then in midfield, you've got McKeown, Davidex, and O'Donnell, who are both, I would say, all three of them, like getting forward. They like creating. So you had Jordan Hickey, who's really their only defensive-minded midfielder. I think people are probably reading into it that the fact they didn't have a striker on the pitch, which it is a good point. You know, Thompson has been used in that role before. Michael Nelson used him, I think it was when they beat FC United and Manchester away in the FA Cup. And it was basically just to give them extra pace up top, which I think is probably what Terry's tried to do on Tuesday. It just hasn't quite come off because of the two fullbacks not being able to get forward because of, you know, injuries and such like. But McGuire played, I think, Dicko, was it about 80 minutes on?
He did, yeah.
On Saturday.
He'd done all right against York. I mean, the lost 3-0. But, you know, I think to answer your question as well, David, about the way Blythe played, the first goal was, what, about 9 minutes, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that put Blythe behind the eight ball, as you would say, straight away. Does Terry change it or does he just carry on to see how they do? You know, Connor Thompson played up there on his own, you know, and the rest were trying to stop a very good Gateshead team that was coming forward with after wave after wave after wave. You know, as Mark mentioned earlier, it took them to quite a time in the second half to create a couple of chances. Goalie made a good save. I mean, J.J. O'Donnell headed one over the bar. I mean, if they could have went in, it was still 1-0 then. Yeah. You know, could have gotten them back in the game. But, you know, I think Terry, after Saturday, playing the top of the league, was looking for, you know, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but damage limitation to try and stay in the game as long as they possibly could. And because it went all wrong after 9 minutes, you know, it was difficult then, very difficult.
What I would say is I think they'll be all right this season, Spartans. I don't see them getting dragged into that
bottom. Oh, I think they'll steal.
Especially if they're only being one team going down. It would have to be it'd have to be an awful run, wouldn't it, from now at the end?
But I also think there's a bit of work to do in the summer
You know, I think lots of it. I think Terry's done well. He's won four games. Is that right, Mark? Which has lifted them, right? Which they needed to do, by the way. If you have a look at the league, right? But I think you're right, Mark. I think they'll need to get the checkbook or the signing on to bring new people in. I think people will go because I mean it's a top league, yeah. Right? It's a top league in you know, we've got South Shields and Morpeth and, you know, there's others around there with them who are trying and want to get in the league. Once you're in, you need to stay there, right? Because it's exciting football and you play very, very good teams.
It certainly is. And also as well, there's a few paydays in this league with derbies as well. There's quite a few. And if you get a few more up, it should be, you know, everyone's going to benefit from that.
It's not beyond the realms that Morpeth could be in this league next season either, by the way.
They're on a fantastic run.
It's probably unlikely, we'll say. But the run they're on, they'll need a few things to go their way. But they're in fine form. And, you know,
that's a good point.
We've got a tough game Saturday against York, which will be a nice little tester for them in the trophy. But certainly, I don't think anyone would fancy facing them at the moment.
Well, we've got some more messages read out. We're just going to play a quick message on how to follow us on social media. Please do, because it really does help. And not just our social media, the club, the foundation, and the Gated Soul as well. So please do that. And Gated Away Travel as well, if you fancy going to the game on Saturday. And note to self, take the ticker off the bottom so people can see the addresses of the ones on the bottom. We've got some more messages. Liv Walden, she was at the game, and she's put it's because I was there that they won, I think that's what she was saying. But we're really glad that you come, because she's been listening to the commentaries and interacting with the podcast, which is absolutely fantastic. And we hope you enjoy it and come back to more games, because we do enjoy doing a commentary, but it's better to be at the game if you can. That's where, you know, if you enjoy the commentary, great. If you can't make it, if you're ill or whatever, or live abroad or on holiday, but being in that town and where you stand, especially with games like on Tuesday night, that is where you need to be. Mr. Luke has put, it's the Great Escape. I think he must be on about Blythe, because these are a little bit later. Because we're so deep in conversation, we missed a couple of messages. He's not a bad darts player either. I think that's about Campbell. Because I see they've got a fantastic darts competition going on in the changing room. And we've got a message here from Taylor Howie. Fantastic to see Greenfield back. What a shift he put in. And he got a fantastic reception as well. He come off in the second half, but he had to walk around. And when he got right in front of the Tyne and Weir stand, he got a great reception.
Fully deserved, though.
It certainly was. We've got a message here from Mason Ford. I didn't think it helped Blythe, in my opinion, playing York and Gator, two quality teams in the space of 3 days. But that's what this league is. There isn't many easy games.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Just before we go a little bit further on, obviously there's been a couple of things happening at Gator International Stadium. One, with some youngsters running on the pitch on Saturday. And I do believe there was, well, I heard it, I was setting up things for the commentary, that there was an announcement about running on the pitch and controlling your children, or anyone that does try and run out there or interfere with anything. You will be banned. If it's your children, you'll be banned as well, I believe. So, you know, let's keep it safe. Let's keep it sensible. It seems like we had a couple of idiots. They were trying to grab microphones on the commentary desk as well when Rafi Raisbeck was there doing updates, or grabbing his microphone when he's at the toilet, had to chase them. So they were just idiots at the game. Moving a little bit further forward, something that didn't directly apply to Gateshead, but Blythe Spartans put an announcement out today as well, condoning the actions of some fans. We're not here to judge or go on anything. Of course, Blythe are dealing with it very sensibly. If you read their Twitter, well, the on the website, the announcement that they put out, some awful behaviour from one or two in the crowd, a little segment of the crowd.
Small minority.
And one thing I want to say is, I know I'm mentioning it, but we've had Blythe fans on the show. We've had Neil Bromley, of course, who does the commentary for Blythe. You know, I respect every Blythe Spartans fan, because they're like us. They're supporting the team that they love. It's not easy being a non-league fan And to have some idiots, they come and go at every club. It doesn't matter what club it is. It could be Manchester United. It could be anybody. These people come and go. Thankfully, they go. That's the thing. But Blythe fans, I've seen a few, and I did interact with one or two online that were saying they were ashamed to be Blythe fans. And I said, don't be. Don't be ashamed to be the team that you love. It's not. You're in it for glory. You're in for love. And these small-minded minority, hopefully, it sounds like they've probably been identified by the reading between the lines in the statement that was put out there. But just a well done to the stewards as well, because it seems like it was a tough little time they had over there towards the back end of the game. But just any Blythe fans that might see this, I, from our point of view, you know, you're like us. It's a nice rivalry. It was nice to get one over you. I'm sure it's the same way again with us. But, let's just...
Nice. Go. It was bloody fantastic, man.
I know. Just playing it down. If you listen back to the commentary, you hear screaming and perforating Mark's eardrums. I was getting into that one. But, just going forward, to Blythe, I think, idiots are idiots, and they don't represent your football club. That's where I want to get across. But looking forward, gentlemen, we've got a big game away to Alfreton. Not an easy place to go to. A team that's been in the National League in recent years, they want to get back there. Of course, they need to do a little bit of work to do that. But a tough place to go nonetheless. And I'll start with Mark. We say this all the time. It's a must-win game. Each game that comes up, but this is going to be another tough one, but for different reasons for Gator this Saturday.
Every game is a must-win from now on because of the pressure that will be put on by Brackley, by clubs in and around them as well. I know there's a little bit of a gap now, but the pressure is on Gator. As Mike Williamson said, the target's on the back now because they're top. It doesn't mean anything now, but it does put a toll on your back. So I think the thing with Alfreton is, and me and Dicker have seen them this season, up at Blythe actually, you know what you're going to get. You know the way they're going to play football. I know they've got a new manager in there now, but you know how things are going to work with them. It's going to be, Billy Heath's still there. It's going to be long ball. It's going to be direct. It's going to be balls in the box. It's going to be, plenty of pressure on the defence to head things clear. That's what it was when we were there first day of the season, Dicker, against Blythe.
It was. And I mean, that's a great point. And I mean, we spoke when we travelled home the other night, like Mike Williamson was on the subs bench. Will Mike put himself in there? You know, there isn't anybody better in the league to deal with long balls, high balls in the box. I mean, that's his forte. And I'm just wondering, if he's just been keeping himself to come back in and play. If it was me, if he was fit, I would put him in for that purpose. Because Mark's right, they're a very direct team.
Well, they've got, obviously, I mean, Owen Bailey, we've been singing his praises all year, but he's very good in the air as well. I mean, the amount of headers he wins in games and challenges. But hopefully, I don't know exactly what the extent of the injury. Mike Williamson's out, is he?
Sorry, rain on your parade, guys.
Mike won't be playing, you think, on Saturday?
No.
Right. Obviously they've got to perform without him. But I mean, he's such a big player and very good in the air. It just means that the rest of the lads will step up and have to do it.
But just before we go on to that, I was just going to say if Jack Hunter was fit, it was another one that you could play in midfield that is very good, an aerial battle as well, we've said it before, versatility. Maybe Magny might come in there. He's a solid centre-back and can read headers very well. So the options are there if Mike is out.
Whoever comes in's got Matt Reed.
Yeah.
And that man is just... Yeah, he reminds me, if you remember John Parkin from York City.
Yeah, very much.
Exactly the same.
I mean, he is in mobile, but the ball just seems to be a magnet and goes to him up front there, doesn't he? But let's hope Gator's spending more time going the other way and scoring a few goals to be worrying about them at the back end. I mean, I think if we're talking about them, I think they're very much talking about Gator's front six that are going to cause them such problem on Saturday.
That's a good point, though, because, we are concerning ourselves with what they've got at the top end of the pitch, but again, going back to what we saw first day of the season, defensively, they're not the quickest team. So when you've got a Kedwin Scott, you've got Macaulay Langstaff, you've got Adam Campbell buzzing in and around, you've got Greg Olley running at you from deep. There's a lot there to contend with from an offensive point of view.
It certainly is. And we've got a message from Roger Ely. He's put, gents, regarding Saturday's game, having lived near Alfreton for nearly 15 years, briefly played for the club, but not Alfreton. It's Alfred, but pronounced Alfreton. So we've been saying it wrong.
All right, I'll put the first time this season.
Not the first time this season that was said it on commentary. I'll mispronounce a few things. But
so are they playing the Heed?
They're playing the Heat. Yeah. Well, we could be pedantic, couldn't we, and try and correct them. But, I mean, going into this game, obviously, confidence has to be high. We're up there, the lads. But we spoke about it a number of times before. The mentality of this football club at the moment, they showed how strong they are coming back. They've got to show how strong they are going forward now. And, you know, taking the game to Alfred, and we've got to go there with the swagger that some teams have when they try and win leagues. Teams turn up, they've got confidence, they'll walk out their chests puffed, should I say, and command their game on people. And we are very, very capable of doing that.
Definitely. I totally agree. I mean, we've got some great wins on the road this season. I mean, latest, was it Hereford? That's not Kidderminster went there and got beat 2-0 on the Tuesday after. So we're more than capable of doing it. I tell you what has really surprised me is how many wins we've actually got. We've got very few draws. We either lose or win. When you work that out, if you take the odd draw, a couple of draws, you think, oh, you're stretching an unbeaten run. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's better to lose one and win the next one.
At the moment, it's proven that way because we are top, and obviously we're scoring the goals when we win those games, like by a margin, and that's obviously what's helping. We've got a message here. It's canny big keeper we have now for those balls into the box. Haven't seen many put in to test him yet, but I'm hopeful. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point, that. Yeah, right. He's a big, big unit, isn't he? You know, when you're that size and you jump another foot and a half, you're nearly up in the sky, aren't you? You know, so he should be able to take all them balls, really.
If we go back to Saturday, obviously his debut, he let in 3 goals. The third goal was an absolute peach. Keeper who had no chance in the world. The first goal was well worked into the box, gave to defence. Maybe could have closed down a little bit more, but. And the ball was passing the box and slotted past him. No keeper in the world is really going to have much chance when they're in that situation. The other one was, defensive slip and another shot from outside the box. Of course, keepers would hope to think they get there, but it was a beautiful finish. You can't really criticise the keeper too much. But we talked about that save that he made in the second half against Blythe. He wasn't called upon. He was still mentally strong and, into the game. He was watching everything. And through a crowd of people, I mean, Hickey struck that ball sweetly. I mean, it was quite central in the box, in the goal, but, he still had to get that clear.
It was a good stop. It was. We've seen him in action and he performed. But, can I just add that the games that I've seen Gated at home and 90% of them have been that. But that night I seen them at Altrincham in the cup. By what a team to look that night. And I would say to you, maybe it's the York game and the Brackley game was up to the level of that night they played at Altrincham. Because it wasn't easy to go down there, lads, was it, really, And they had a fantastic result. Were you there, Mickey?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. How well did they play that night? They were superb. They were
brilliant.
Yeah.
It was a shock when Altrincham actually got the goal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but they just picked themselves up and away they went. And I think that night, looking at Gated, I said, "Bah, these are a bit special team because they were a long way from home. There was very few crowd there, and they just set out and played wonderful football. They really did, you know.
Well, off the park at times.
Roger Ely, I think he's put they haven't scored in their last 2 games. Let's hope that they can make it 3. So Roger, he's keeping us up with some facts there. So let's hope that's the case, that we can keep them away and not let them create as many chances. David Tron, he's put the link up play between Ollie Campbell, Scott and Maka is fantastic. We look like we could have scored more on Tuesday if it wasn't for Blythe's keeper. Yeah, I'd like to give a special mention to Mitchell as well. He was off his line absolutely like grease lightning.
He's a good keeper.
Yeah. But going back to the statement there, the front three, we've seen the goals, the link of play. We mentioned about Campbell and Scott, obviously being heavily involved in the goals. Langstaff with a good finish. And just the build-up play is nice. We are seeing one or two times when they are selfish, and that's what strikers should be when they've got an opportunity and they think they're putting it in the back of the net, especially when you're winning games, why not go for it? But sometimes they'd like to put it on a plate for each other, and it's lovely to see because, you know, that's what wins games. If you're gonna, the team's more important than, putting one in from a tight angle.
I think what I like about them as a three, and we shouldn't forget Paul Blackett as well, by the way. He's possibly Paul's probably the only one of our classes now without number nine. But the other three can, if something's not working, so if Langstaff is the nine and Kedwin and Campbell are playing off him and it's not quite working, it's easy to rotate that and cause a new problem. So Kedwin might go into the number nine and Langstaff will come out wide, or Campbell will go and play furthest forward. It's so versatile, and they can manage the game in that way. If a defence are comfortably looking after Langstaff, and let's be honest, there aren't many who've done that this season, then just switch it and Kedwin Scott goes up front. I think that's the strength of this quartet, if you want to include Blackett.
And when you take one of them off and you bring Blackett on, that's very little change. They're still bombarding the goal, aren't they?
If we go back to the Charlton game when Paul Blackett come on, he looked like, it was like for like with Langstaff and the pace. Well,
he's sensational with his pace, and he can score goals. He wants to score goals as well, you know.
And he can hold up the ball as well for a small player when it's passed to his feet. He can hold off a 6-foot-odd defender behind him. He's like a Jack Russell. He kind of get him over. He'll guard that ball of his life and then distribute it. But it just shows you the weapons we've got in our arsenal up front. They're all different. They all bring the different skills to it, but it just all works together.
I'd be interested to know how many starts Paul's made compared to how many goals he's got.
Good point.
It feels to me like every time he started, or maybe not every time, but a lot of times when he started, he scored. I bet he's goals to games records. Very impressive.
I think goals to minutes, he is the top one in the league, Paul Blackett. Michael Scully, he's put for me, Campbell has been our best player over the last 2 months. He makes some great runs, which don't all result in him receiving the ball, but his work rate is immense. And we
I would agree with that.
In the second half, he was just...
Do you know one thing we haven't mentioned is the other game at the top end of the league on Saturday, which is Brackley are at home to Fylde.
They certainly are.
Someone has to drop points there.
Something's got to give, haven't they, you know? Yeah.
If Gateshead can go to Alfreton...
We win.
Well, do you know what? If Gateshead go to Alfreton and get something and hopefully get a win, you'd probably rather that Fylde went to Brackley and won... And then it gives Gates a nice little buffer at the top of the league.
That's a good point.
Good point. Game in hand, possibly. Am I right?
Yeah, I think there's a few other teams that are still going to play each other in and amongst there. And, of course, we've got one or two to play as well. But as you mentioned, it's a perfect opportunity to get a buffer. And I think if the teams that have got games in hand and us, even if they win them, they're still not, they can't overtake us, which is a big plus to have. But that buffer would be just that extra icing on the cake as we stand at the moment. And we've got another message here. This one is from Sam Pendleton. Thank you very much for joining us. Great response from Saturday's setback on Tuesday. Hopefully we can get a good result down at Alfreton. Definitely. Just where we're on, I want to just interrupt because it is my wife's birthday today. It's her 40th birthday and I'm doing a podcast.
Happy birthday, Elliot.
Yeah, so she's next door and she was hanging this morning. We went to York yesterday for a day out. Lovely day. But my wife decided she knits. If anyone knows, she's a big knitter. And she was quite tipsy and she went to a knit and natter group after we got back and didn't get in from a knitting natter group till past 12. I didn't think knitting ladies could drink as much.
That's a lot of knitting, isn't it? Was that a lot of knitting or a lot of drinking?
Well, yeah,
when you said she was hugging, I thought she'd met a noose.
She knitted it. She wishes she had one this morning when she was shouting for Huey down the toilet. Right, well, we've got 15 minutes remaining. Gentlemen, if you're happy to stay with us, you're more than welcome. It's been fantastic having you on. We're just going to play one more advert on, we'll just give a little big out to our captain, Greg Olley. There he is, Greg Olley, still a whippersnapper. I only turn 26 next week. I'm very jealous. We've got some messages here for the wife. Happy birthday. I just got wrong on the thing there. So happy birthday to your missus. Best wishes. Yeah, I got wrong on it. She's opened the door. She's listening to us now. I'm going to have to be careful. She's got new needles as well. They're quite long. She can get us from the door. if people would like to send in their predictions as well for Saturday, that would be fantastic. Sam Pendleton has put another goal for Langstaff. He must be near the top division goal scorers. I think he is, isn't he? Or he certainly was the other week.
Glenn Taylor's at the top, isn't he? Just signed a new deal at Spennymoor as well.
My wife says thank you to Dale. It's for David for the birthday wishes there, and to all of you as well.
I'll tell you what, Dave, if she's only just listening now, it's a good job she didn't hear what you said earlier on when she wasn't listening.
Quick, something up, lads.
Trying to get me lynched. I do that myself, though. Don't worry.
I've got a question for Mark and Paul here. I know you haven't seen most of the games, but who's, if you were to pick a player of the year for Gated tomorrow, who would you vote for?
I'd be straight in with Adam Campbell.
I'd be hard pushed to look beyond the front three, but I think Owen Bailey's been exceptional and consistent in a number of positions. Often with Owen, I think he does the job that goes unseen, and I think I mentioned him, Dave, in the build-up, the Charlton game, saying that night, and I think against Altrincham as well, that he would be key in terms of protecting the defence and allowing your Ollies and Campbells and Kedwins and Langstaffs to express themselves. So I think I'd probably go Owen Bailey, but I'm probably being a bit harsh on the forward players there.
Yeah, I mean, the goal scorers always do grab the headlines, don't they?
So they should.
But yeah. Obviously,
Springer's union speaks.
Yeah, I'm the chairman.
Yeah. It's a shame we haven't got a decent striker on tonight, isn't it?
I know. Ah. But you're only as good as the players behind you, you know, and they're the ones that are helping get the ball up the pitch and, you know, and getting you in that area. But I would go. See, Langstaff's having an amazing season. But for me, at the minute, I'm loving seeing Campbell, Scott and Bailey. The work they're doing, as well as the job they should be doing and doing it well, they're just doing that other extra little stuff that is creating things and stopping things at the same time. It's just beautiful to see. But then again, I could sit here and 5 minutes later and pick out another player and see, you know, that who's impressed us.
It's going to be a tough decision.
Well, do you know what? If I can just throw another one in, and he's kind of not been mentioned a lot this season, but has been consistent at sort of 7, 8, 10 every week, is Robbie Tinkler. Yeah. From right back. You know, he's nailed down that position.
Right. And you nearly just expect that, Mark, don't you? Yeah. Oh, Robbie just does that. Yes, you know.
He'll create a chance as well. You know he's got a great cross on him, so that's an added danger to, or well, an added string to his bow, really, to what he brings to the side.
I always think with the best players in this division, not just at Gateshead, it becomes notable when they don't play well. So the average players, you'll find they'll get away with throwing in a 5 out of 10 every now and then. But the real top players, so the likes of your Ollies and your Tinklers and Baileys and Campbells and all these, if they drop even slightly below their normal standards, you notice it. But I think with Tinkler...
That's a good point.
But I really like Robbie. I thought when they got him back in the summer, it was just an inspired bit of business. And and we could argue, because of the season Alex Nicholson had, it was possibly, you could say, an unnecessary signing, but he's coming and done superbly well and allowed Alex to kind of function as a centre back as well.
Well, you can't have
enough good players, though, can you, lads? Right. You can't have enough.
On the other hand, we can move for just along the defence a couple of positions there. And Lewis Story, and I think I've said privately to Ollie as when we signed him, I thought, is this going to be more of a coaching signing? And he's, they're going to be on the bench. And he's become a pivotal part of the defence and a very similar player to Mike Williamson, calm, reads the game very well, distributes the ball. I mean, he picks out some fantastic passes. He's probably created quite a few goals this season in the build-up. And just another player that's just quietly goes about his business. And, it's only noticeable when he has, if there is a slip-up. Otherwise, you're very calm and collected of him at the back.
But all of the best teams throughout history have had players like this that just get on with it and just do the job. I always go back to that Manchester United side of the 90s, and I always pick out Dennis Irwin, who never got the plaudits. But if you speak, when Alex Ferguson's ever speaking about that team, he always picks out Dennis Irwin and says he's the one that put in the 7 or 8 out of 10 every week. And they're the players managers love.
Yeah. And Louis being that, I mean, he's really impressed me. As we watch lots and lots of games, his FA Vars run with Heaven, he was outstanding. He was absolutely brilliant at Wembley. And then he's been projected a good few levels to come and play at Gated. But his pedigree was there when he was at Newcastle United. And he's really dug in. He's lost a bit of weight. And he's trained really hard and he's played his part. I mean, Gated top of the league at the minute. He's played his part already. And if they do win the league and go up, I think Louis will play a big, big part. He's still got a lot of football in him from now until the end of the season.
And he's still young. He's still young. He's only 28. Apologies if not, but...
But also he's bought into the club as well. You can see it in the interviews. He's come in to work with Mike and Ian, and you can see that he's obviously fitted in well. They've wanted to bring him in. And even, I think, at the Heaven game, I've spoken with that game a few times in pre-season, he was on the sub-bench coaching from the sidelines, and you could see he's passionate about what he does. He's intelligent about what he does. He shouts it. He's not just screaming and shouting. He's given confidence, he's given criticism, he's given everything. It's not just you get over there. You can tell he's an intelligent football brain that he's got, and also nice lad. And you can see by media days, like with the FA Cup, he went round everyone and he made sure that he spoke to everyone that was in around the club, not just the people that were visiting from the national press.
But what you've just said there, Dave, about him buying into the club now. Me and Dicker speak to player after player and coaching staff and people at all levels of the club. There's no one at the club who hasn't bought into it. Now, the dressing room, they're all keyed into what Mike Williamson and Ian Watson and Louis Story want. Yeah. They're all good lads. There's not a bad one amongst them. And I'm not just saying that. They're all want to be the best they can be, not for themselves, but for the football club. And without going too far into the recent history, a lot of the strength of the troubles that were not too long ago are what is being built upon and even enhanced in this current squad. There are players that were there back then when the issues were going on.
Yeah.
And I think that strength has just evolved into what is a very, very good team spirit. Yes, they'll have off days, which, let's be honest, Saturday was an off day. They had one at Blythe, but they are few and far between. And the spirit and the togetherness that's in that dressing room will take them very, very close to the league title this season, if not winning it.
Yeah, and we've got a few messages here. Taylor Howie has put player of the air, more like squad of the air. Don't think we've had any underperformers. It's a tough one. Whoever wins it this year will be very deserving of it, but the whole squad, hopefully, if we say we're aiming for the top, the team's aiming for the top, and if we can get there, they'll all be player of the season in my eyes. We've got Oi Oi Mick from Kieran James, one there for me. Another player that we haven't really talked about, we've mentioned him briefly, Dan Ward has been a big miss since his injury. He's grown into an important player, going well, gelling well with Bailey. And that was, I think I said it a few times on the show, we spoke to him in pre-season on the podcast. He said that he, we asked him what where he's seen himself playing this year. He said centre mid. To me, I thought, I don't know. We had a lot of centre mids in there before. Obviously, Danny Greenfield got injured. And I thought, oh, maybe he might not be as pivotal of a player as he has, but he's worked hard. He admitted himself, he came in late last year, he missed pre-season. He had to sign on transfer deadline day for international transfer because he was playing in Ireland. And he came in, he was thrown in at the deep end, and I think he just had to dive in. Plus, as well, we talked about last year, it was at the season, we didn't know when it was starting. It was start-stop, so you know anyone didn't really give a good account of themselves straight away. But he's another one that's brought into the team, and you can see he works very hard at it, and he wanted to play centre mid, and he's had a point to prove, and he's done that because he wanted to come back to play closer to home, and he's done that, and he's made himself
a top player, right? I've seen him in Altrincham, and he more or less ran the show there in midfield. Absolutely brilliant, right? And then, unfortunately, he got injured. I mean, the quality of the midfield players, man, is unbelievable. I mean, you know, we've just sung the praises of all the lads up front, but, you know, you've got about 7 or 8 midfield players, and you take a few out and put them in. I mean, when they played York at home, there was a bit of a mix around of players that night, and they murdered York. They did with you know the team that wasn't the team, as you would say, you know. But they've got some great players. The hardest thing will be when they're all mad fit and ready to go, and Meg's got to pick the team, you know. But they're top of the league and they're doing everything great. They're a great club.
I was going to ask Mark a question about, I asked it in commentary, but obviously a lot of people would have been at the game, wouldn't have heard, about Taylor Charters, who's been on loan. Talk about how strong the midfield is. He's a young lad. And Mason Ford, I've seen that Keith Millen is going to speak to Charters about what's going to happen if he's staying at Gated or going back to Carlisle. What's your thoughts on that? I did ask Mark if he would keep him on loan, if you know, on current things. But we've just talked about Jack Hunter there. We've just spoke about Greenfield coming back and Dan Ward. We're fully fit midfield. Where does Taylor Charters start regularly? Yes, he's done very well, but would Carlisle be happy for him to come here and sit on the bench?
I think from Gateshead's point of view, a lot depends on how quickly Dan Ward and how quickly Jack Hunter get back to fitness. If they are imminent or you know, in the next 2-3 weeks, I'm not sure what either side of that loan would get out of Taylor Charters. As good a player as he has been and as good a player as he is, there's a lot of promise there.
Yeah.
Carlisle want to come out and play on loan. They don't want him to sit on the bench. So I think a lot depends on if, you know, the players we just mentioned come back to full fitness quickly. If not, then he's worth keeping around. But I just think the purpose of a loan spell is to get fitness and to get game experience. And if he's not getting that, then, you know, there's a decision to be made.
Certainly is. We've got another message from Taylor Howie. Story to move up those divisions and still be one of the best defenders in the league just shows how quality he is.
Correct.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he made me eat my words or my thoughts, should I say. I was a little bit hesitant thinking, you know, yes, he's done very well at Hebburn, but just an outstanding addition. Well, gentlemen, we've come to the hour. I'd say thank you very much for joining us. It's been a very enjoyable show. We've covered a lot of topics, and Paul, it's been nice to have you back on the show.
I've been really pleased to be on the show. Thank you very much, Dave. Lovely.
It's been a privilege to have you, Paul.
It certainly has. And Mark, as ever, it's probably just been a chore for you seeing me, is it?
Dave, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It's been bearable. All right.
And you mean that, Mark, don't you? You
from
mean that.
From the bottom of my heart, Dave. From the bottom of my heart.
We actually
he said that through gritted teeth.
He goes on like this, but we cuddle at half time to keep warm. Mickey, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And thank you to everyone that has watched and joined and interacted tonight. Remember, please do share the podcast. We'll give advertisements for next week's show and what guests we can get lined up. As ever, follow all the social media at Gateshead, share it. Doesn't matter what it's about. Let's reach as many people as we can in Tyneside and around the world, because we know last week we had Dean Seaver on from Atlanta, Georgia, Gateshead fan out there. So we want to find if there's any more hidden gems of Gateshead fans around the world that we can talk to. Get in touch. And also, just before we go, visit heedarmy.com, our new website as well. Oops, I've pressed the wrong button there. Now we'll bring it up. There it is, heedarmy.com. There'll be advertisements for the show and commentaries on there. And hopefully we're going to start doing a couple of little articles and things like that. Nothing too controversial. We don't want to get banned by the club. But on that note, gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Good night.